Hello and welcome to the Sweet Spot, your go-to golf tipping show brought to you by The Racing Post. It's Jack Reeve and it's Steve Palmer who returns from his holiday, I hope, in good mood and a good spirit ahead of a really busy week. Three tournaments to preview, a couple to review. Steve Palmer, what have you been up to over the last week or so? You seem happy, you seem cheery. That makes me happy.
Yes, well, I am happy. Yeah, Scottie Scheffler made us happy. I had a huge English breakfast on the day after the Masters, which set me up for the entire week. It was so immense at the Weymouth FC CAF. The portions are very, very generous there.
Black pudding? No black pudding?
I had a little dabble of that. Yeah, yes. He threw in some complimentary sauté potatoes. He was being super generous. Yeah, I went in with all my Scheffler winnings. I said three large breakfasts. I treated a couple of friends, and then he was just throwing complimentary stuff in. So yeah, that was a fantastic start. And then played snooker on the Tuesday. Played 12 holes of golf on the Wednesday. My back seized up after 12 holes.
So
I had to give up after 12 holes. Lots of imbibing, watch Weymouth FC on Saturday. So, yeah, very, very successful week. But, you know, I've returned hungry for action, really hungry for action.
The Masters feels like an absolute age ago, doesn't it? When we were kind of, I still don't think I've caught up on sleep after our watch along. You said, you know, Scottie Scheffler made us all happy. We could just open with that line with every Sweet Spot from now until the end of days, I think. I mean, Scottie Scheffler, look, we were on Sweet Spot last week and I could back Scottie last week and all my friends were going, Jack, he's going to win. I'm going, surely the kid is being born this week. The kid didn't come.
End of April.
Oh, I know, but it feels like Meredith has been on the edge for so long. And
You've got to trust these midwives. They know what they're doing.
Look, Scottie Scheffler was the winner of the RBC Heritage. It was, once again, convincing. Got out of the blocks fairly slow in that round one and then just got going and no one could stop him. This is dominant stuff from Scottie Scheffler, Steve. We are getting to a stage now where if he plays and there's no injury doubts or no baby doubts, you probably just have to back him.
Well, I didn't back him either. I don't want to make you feel bad about not backing him up, but I don't bet on golf on a week. So I feel I have to cleanse the mind. You know, I didn't bet on any male golf last week. I actually had a small dabble on the ladies golf. I couldn't resist bet on the ladies golf. Yeah, after round one, she was 2-1, and I just thought, oh blimey, I'll just have a fun bet there. That won't pollute my mind too much. So I enjoyed that one, but I didn't touch any males last week, Jack. And I feel cleansed. That's why I'm so hungry. If I punted last week, I wouldn't have come back as hungry for action as I am. So yeah, I'm cleansed.
Do you punt on anything? On the snooker or something? Or
it's just important to get away from men's golf for a little bit. I mean, obviously I watch bits and bobs, but I didn't get involved myself. And Scottie Scheffler, what was he? 4-1 best price last week, was he?
Something like that. Yeah,
I mean, you would have been gambling on Meredith holding up. I mean, I saw his post tournament media conference, and one reporter asked him, is it getting boring? Is it getting boring hitting the ball where you want it to go every single time? And it's a really funny question. And Scottie was just looking at him like that, quite innocently. And he said it wasn't boring. He says he's addicted to that feeling of flushing a ball. You know, when he flushes his shots, he loves it. And you know, he says he'll never get bored of that. And last week was just a classic Scottie Scheffler performance, wasn't it? He was top of the strokes gained off the tee stats. He was top of the strokes gained on approach stats. He was 36 for putting. So mid-division, 36th of 69 players that made the cut and won the tournament by three shots. You know, textbook Scheffler, incredible ball striking, solid putting, job done. First player since Bernhard Langer. Love giving Bernhard Langer a mention. To win the Masters, then the Heritage the following week. That was in 1985. So Scheffler doing things that haven't been done for donkey's years. And I think, there's a collective sigh of relief from the Zurich Classic hopefuls this week that Scheffler's not playing in the field, because he could probably partner Stevie Wonder at the moment and fashion some kind of chance on Sunday in the Zurich Classic, couldn't he? So he's taking the week off and we probably won't see him again to the USPGA, I'd say.
Indeed. It's not even if he's beating weak fields, though. We had Patrick Cantlay chasing his tail all week. And Cantlay arguably played really well, you know, putted well, Tita Green really solid, and he just it still doesn't look like he's out of kind of third gear, which is the scary thing. We're in this moment, aren't we, Steve? You mentioned the women's golf at the moment. We've got the men dominated by Scotty. We've got the women dominated by Nelly Korda, seemingly not going to change anytime soon.
No, that's right. They're sort of egging each other along a little bit, aren't they? You know, Nelly Korda seems by far the best lady in the world now, doesn't she? And, and Scotty is obviously in the men's game. It's just whether that baby unsettles him. You know, he's going to shut down for a bit now, isn't he? I don't think we'll see him until the USPGA Championship. You know, maybe we won't see him at the USPGA if it's a late baby or there's any sort of issues with the baby. It's all down to Meredith now. And, you know, when she releases the offspring, will determine how Scheffler turns up, you know, what sort of shape he turns up in the USPGA. But, I probably won't be backing him for the USPGA because, it's not going to be ideal preparation, whatever happens, is it?
But it's Scotty Scheffler. I've fallen into that mistake before of going, can't back him. And then he goes and wins. Look, we've got three tournaments the previous week, so we better rattle through the reviews. The other one was the Corrales Punta Cana Resort and Club Championship. I'm glad that we're not going to be saying that mouthful again anytime soon. It's won by Billy Horschel, another player, Steve, who, you look at his career CV, it's mightily impressive. And a really good win here. Solid final round.
Absolutely. That's a seventh PGA Tour title. His eighth, if you include his Zurich Classic Pairs victory. And a culmination of a nice comeback to form. Because if you remember last summer, he shot rounds of 84 and 72 to miss the cut in the Memorial by 9 shots. Memorial's a place he normally plays well. He was a broken man after that. You know, there was some tears in the interviews. But he's battled back to his best, got his swing back in order. And from the start of March onwards, you know, he's been one of the form players on the PGA Tour. So, delighted for Billy Horschel, and we'll be discussing him soon in the Zurich Classic preview.
Oh, OK. Well, we'll get onto that shortly. Worth noting that the Sweet Spot is now sponsored by AK Bets. If you fancy an account with AK, then you can place your first bet on a golf tournament, win a market, and get 50% of your stake back as a free bet up to £50 if your player misses the cut. That code is SweetSpot50. We'll be reading the prices often, top price in the golf markets with AK Bets throughout the previews. Let's get on to those said previews now, Steve. And we shall start with the ISPS Handa Championship. Where are we playing? What's the layout here?
Excellent chronological order work there, Jack. We must make the point that this starts at 10:20 p.m. on Wednesday night. You haven't got long to get your ISPS Handa bets on. We are at Taiyo Club Gotemba in Gotemba, Japan. 7,262 yards, par 70, only two par fives. The course takes over from PGM Ishioka Golf Club, which was the first DP World Tour event ever staged in Japan 12 months ago. Taiyo is a well-established Japan Tour venue. The Taiyo Masters has been staged there since 1977. The track was renovated in 2018 by Rhys Jones with consultation from Hideki Matsuyama. So the form from the 2018 Taiyo Masters onwards is of more significance than anything prior. Tight tree-lined layout rewards tee to green precision, and the weather forecast is good. Calm throughout, cloudy for the first 3 days. The sun comes out to play on Sunday. A field of 156 going to post.
Okay, and we're needing our bets on by, well, before you go to bed on Wednesday. Let's take a look at the top of the market. Prices brought to you by AK Bets, your favourite of joint favourites, Christian Bezuidenhout and Matthew Pavon, both 14-1. Keita Nakajima, 16s. Takuya Kiana, 22-1. Jordan Smith, 25s, alongside Sebastian Soderberg, Yannick Paul, and it's bigger the rest. Steve Palmer, how many selections for this one?
Four! You
are full of energy today, aren't you? Looking forward to this. Main selection for this one. Who is it?
Keita Nakajima! 16-1 with AK Bets, who made his DP World Tour breakthrough in fine style in the Indian Open last time out. A four-shot romp on a tricky golf course. He opened with a pair of 65s, left the field for dead. He dropped a huge clue in his previous event, the Singapore Classic, where he improved his round score every day on his way to 29th place. He started the year with fourth place in the Ras Al Khaimah Championship. This lad is pure class. He's 23 years of age. The world is his oyster. He was world number one amateur for 87 weeks, Jack. I know that always impresses you. He won a Japan Tour event when he was still an amateur. He's won four times on the Japan Tour. He's finished second on the Japan Tour six times. Put Keita Nakajima on a golf course in Japan, frightening things can happen. On this particular golf course, He's competed four times in the Taiyo Masters. All of those appearances were since the course changes in 2018. He was 18th on his debut in 2019. He was ranked 1,179th in the world at the time. He was third in 2020 when he was ranked 942 in the world. He was 35th in 2022, still outside the world's top 300. Then he was 20th last year. So unlike the European Raiders this week, Nakajima knows this track like the back of his hand. He's oozing confidence. He's eyeing up one of those 10 PGA Tour cards you get from the race to Dubai. This is a golden chance to cement his PGA Tour future, you know.
Absolutely. Big week for Kaito Nakajima and all of his backers as well. A strong start, Steve. Who's up next?
Takumi Kanaya! 22-1 with AK Betts. Takumi Kanaya, another former world number one amateur. He spent 55 weeks as world number one amateur. Nakajima and Kanaya are two of the best young players Japan has ever produced. Kanaya also won a Japan Tour event when still an amateur. And that wasn't just any old event, Jack. That was the Taiyo Masters of 2019. This has always been it. Yeah, the Taiyo Masters. It was always one of the signature events on the Japan Tour, you know. And Kanaya won that when he was an amateur. You had the Dunlop Phoenix and the Taiyo Masters, often attracting, you know, big names. You had a gaggle of big names in those events. And they were the first two events that Kanaya won on the Japan Tour. He won the 2020 Dunlop Phoenix. He's won six times on the Japan Tour. The last of them came last month. He's also won on the Asian Tour. This is a 25-year-old, ideally suited to this week's assignment. Like Nakajima, he's played on this course only since it was renovated. Form figures from his last four starts there, Jack. 1, 5, 2, 3.
Wow.
Only a madman goes into battle this week without Takumi Kanaya on their side.
And some would say, Steve, that we are mad men, but we will go to battle with them anyway.
We will.
I can see a theme trending here through your selections. I wonder if the next will follow suit.
Taiga Semikawa!
Indeed it does.
Taiga Semikawa, 50-1. With AK Betts. The red and white is out for St. George's Day. I should have wished you happy St. George's Day, Jack. I'd like to spend the day drinking Bombardier with you, but we should be drinking lashings of Bombardier, shouldn't we? But unfortunately, work is going to get in the way of that. But yeah, the red and white is out for St. George's Day today. But on Sunday, the red and white will be out for Japan. This could be a joyous moment for the land of the rising sun. I shall munch sushi on Sunday, Jack, with you in honor of our Japanese cousin, Semikawa. Another former world number one amateur. I know you're going to get angry about all these former world number one amateurs, but there have only been four Japanese world number one amateurs. The three I've just mentioned and Hideki Matsuyama.
Okay, so we're not selecting the other amateur this week then. Okay.
Well, Hideki Matsuyama's not in it, unfortunately. I would have had a good go. But
you would have done, yeah.
I've basically got the cream of the Japanese young crop here. He also won on the Japan Tour when he was still an amateur. It's incredible achievements that these boys have. He's actually won twice on the Japan Tour when he was still an amateur.
Have you just copy and pasted all of the notes for each player?
They have had similar careers, but Semikawa's the only one that's won twice as an amateur on the Japan Tour. He's a four-time Japan Tour winner at the age of 23. And he hasn't been playing much in Japan this year because he's been getting PGA Tour sponsors invites thrown at him regularly. He's named after Tiger Woods, you see. Tiger is spelt differently, but he's named after Tiger Woods. The PGA Tour bigwigs obviously love that. They would love him to establish himself stateside. He was 30th in the Sony Open at the start of the year. So he's been playing in high-grade events, not making much impact. He missed the cut by a shot last time out on his return to Japan. Bit of a sharpener. I expect much better this week. Semikawa finished 8th on his Taiyo Masters debut in 2022, missed the cut by a shot last year. Huge runner at a healthy price.
Yeah, 50-1 with AK Betts. If you are looking for Tiger in the list, it's T-A-I-G-A, not Tiger Woods Tiger, or Tiger as in the normal Tiger. Yeah. Who is the final selection here, Steve?
Rao Oshikawa! 70-1 with AK Betts. We're turning Japanese, Joe. We're turning Japanese. Yeah. I think we're turning Japanese. I really think so. A four-pronged Japanese attack. I'm so excited by my team of Japanese boys here. Rao Oshikawa is the oldest of my quartet, the bashful prince. Once one of the most promising players in the sport. I mean, I don't even know whether you were born when Rao Oshikawa was, you know, was an absolute prodigy. He won an event on the Japan tour. Again, we're talking about, you know, winning events when you're still an amateur. He was 15 years old when he won an event in Japan tour. You know, people forget how good Rao Ishikawa was. In 2008, he was the youngest player in history to penetrate the top 100 of the world rankings. In 2009, he was the youngest player in history to penetrate the top 50 of the world rankings. How old was you in 2009? Rao Ishikawa was an absolute prodigy with the world at his feet. And unfortunately, we've had some injuries. We've had some career lulls, you know, back problems. Ugh. That's why I only played 12 hours on Wednesday because my back let go. Ishikawa's had back problems, but he's now won 18 times on the Japan Tour. He's still only 32. I think there's more victories to come. Ishikawa has won the Taiyo Masters on this track three times. His last Japan Tour victory was the 2022 Taiyo Masters, so his course credential is impeccable. He was ninth in the Taiyo Masters last year on his title defence. I think he's worth chancing at a big price. He hasn't played much this year, one tournament, but I think he's worth chancing at those odds.
You spent about 3 minutes there making out how kind of senior he is with back problems and the oldest of your bunch. And then say he's 32 years old.
Yeah.
I mean, there's probably a lot of 32-year-olds watching quite offended after that, Steve.
Well, yeah, I'm not surprised. Yeah, I mean, 15 years of age. What were you doing at 15 years of age? Blimmin' heck. I mean, winning golf tournaments on the Japan Tour. It's just absolute madness, isn't it?
What would you, after suffering with back pains last week, what would you, if any of your players do have some back struggles, what did you find worked well to kind of soothe the pain?
Pills. Loads and loads of ibuprofen.
Right.
But yeah, there's no easy solution.
Are you having any physio?
No, I haven't done. It's something I should do. I've just been distracted by other things, but yeah, you're right, a bit of physio and a bit of, you know, a spa when you get one of those jets spraying into your back. That's nice, isn't it?
I can't imagine it's helping your snooker either, because you're quite handy on the snooker table. You're quite tall as well. I mean, that a bad back, being tall playing snooker, they're not ideal kind of situations, are they?
No, you're absolutely right. I need a masseuse. I need a lot of therapy and all these things, but it's just finding the time at the moment. You know, I've got the puppies taken over the world, isn't it? And I haven't got time to worry about myself, so yeah, pills is the answer.
Okay, please seek medical professionals for your back problems if you've got issues. Okay, they're the four selections for the ISPS Handed Championship. We shall recap them all at the end. Let's move across to the Zurich Classic of New Orleans, shall we, Steve?
Yes, sir.
TPC Louisiana, talk us through the layout.
Yes, in Avondale, Louisiana, 7,425 yards, par 72, four par fives, a Pete Dye design. It's been hosting the Zurich Classic since 2005. The Zurich used to be a standard event, but became a pairs event in 2017. So we've got 80 teams of two going to post. The top 33 teams and ties make the halfway cut. Rounds one and three are four balls golf. Rounds two and four are alternate shot. And the weather forecast has probably got these pampered princesses quaking in their foot joys, because it's going to be sunny and pleasant and relatively calm for day one. But from Friday onwards, it's a fascinating tournament, this. From Friday onwards, the Lord is turning on the fans. Strong winds for the final three rounds, Jack. The alternate shot rounds could see some carnage.
Quaking in their foot joys. Absolutely.
Foursomes
brilliant.
Golf in the wind. I mean, you've played.
Oh, I love foursomes golf. I was playing foursomes with a good friend of the show, Alex Fellis, last week, and we were just talking about, well, he was talking about how Scotty was going to win, and we were reminiscing on the Masters, and I just love foursomes. You can, you know, you need to be dialed in with your partner.
Yeah. You can't have a weak link.
It's good. It's good. No,
you can't have a weak link. And it went, you know, the possibility of a card buster when the wind's whipping across a golf course, you're playing foursomes, is so high. This is the key to this event.
Okay, let's take a look at the top of the market. AK Betts with the prices. Jan de Schauffele and Patrick Cantlay are your 9-2 favourites. Rory McIlroy and Shane Lowry, 15-2. Will Zalatoris and Sahith Theegala, 9-1. Colin Morikawa and Kurt Kitayama, 14-1. Bigger prices, the rest. Steve, how many for this one?
Just two.
Two. And who are the main two?
Billy Horschel and Tyson Alexander, 40-1 with AK Betts. Billy Horschel, obviously, has got his tail up. He was making his Corrales Punta Cana debut last week, and he carded a record-breaking 23 under par total. It was a performance that had been coming. He was ninth in the Cognizant Classic at the start of last month, 12th in the Valspar, 7th in the Houston Open. He's worked hard to rediscover his A game. His swing's in great order. And last week, his putting stroke looked amazing. He decided to put an old ping putter back in his bag at Sawgrass last month, and that has slowly but surely come to the boil. It was hotter than the sun last week. He holed everything. I think Horschel is ready to lead another successful Zurich side. He won this tournament alongside Scott Piercy in 2018. They were 13th on their title defence in 2019. Then Scott Piercy disgraced himself on social media, unfortunately. So Horschel needed to find a new partner. Horschel was a Zurich ambassador. He's sponsored by Zurich. He couldn't be associated with Piercy any longer. Sam Burns was a fine replacement. Sam Burns and Horschel finished fourth together in the 2021 Zurich. Then they were second in 2022 and 11th last year. Sam Burns unavailable this year, off to become a father. Tyson Alexander gets the gig alongside Horschel, and they've got a massive chance of making an impact for me. This is a pair of good friends. They're both Floridians. Floridians through and through. They are actually teammates in the same Florida Gators side at college. Ooh. Tyson Alexander's dad, Buddy Alexander, was the coach of that team that Horschel was in. So, they're not just being thrown together. They've played together before. They know each other really well. This looks a really tidy pairing for a week when pars will be golden in the foursomes, as I say. Alexander has won twice on the Korn Ferry Tour. Both of those victories came in Texas. It's always windy in Texas. Going to be windy this week. He was second in the 2022 Houston Open on the PGA Tour. He was 14th in the Texas Open at the start of last month. He was 8th in the Bermuda Championship last year, Jack. Another windy venue. So we've got a neat and tidy player here. Good backup for Horschel. Horschel's final point, Horschel's maiden PGA Tour title came at this week's venue in the 2013 Zurich Classic. He loves the Zurich Classic. He's always loved this event. He was talking in his media conference after the Corrales about it, saying how much he's looking forward. He's like a home from home. I love the food there, the New Orleans food. He's just absolutely buzzing about this event.
And so are we, Steve. I mean, some people will sometimes say that they're not overly keen on backing someone who's won the previous weeks. It might have taken it out of them. But I guess Billy Horschel has been there and seen it all before, hasn't he?
Yeah, low-key, low-grade event. Finished on the Sunday. I mean, the Heritage, we must mention, finished on the Monday, didn't it? So, I wouldn't worry about that. He's fit as a fiddle. And, you can see straight after the Corrales, he said there wouldn't be any big celebrations. They asked him, how are you going to celebrate? He said, I'm going to get on the jet to the Zurich. And he's well aware of how big it will be for Tyson, because Tyson Alexander has not won a PGA Tour event. And Billy mentioned that. And he's very keen to do well for his good pal. He's fully motivated. Don't you worry.
Do you often think, when these players go and win a tournament, just celebrate a little bit more, enjoy it? I mean, career, you're not going to win too many times in your career, are you? Just, embrace it a little bit.
Yeah. There's a lot of contrast between how players do that. I mean, Scottie Scheffler's not a big celebrator. They always ask him what he's going to do, and it's just dinner with the wife and a cup of Ovaltine and straight to bed. Billy Horschel didn't want to get involved there. Yeah, I mean, obviously, if you or me won, we'd be on the Bombardiers all night, wouldn't we?
Absolutely. Billy Horschel and Tyson Alexander, 40-1 with AK Betts. The second and the final pick for the Zurich Classic.
Sepp Straka and Bryce Garnett. Yeah, obviously been on Sepp Straka a lot this week. I think I would have backed him last week because he had Heritage form in the bank and he finished fifth. I mean, the form is back for Straka. He hinted it was coming back when third for greens in regulation in the Players' Championship last month. He finished 16th at Sawgrass. Then he finished 16th in the Masters. I hope some sensible punters had top 20 bets on Straka at good prices for the Masters. And then fifth last week in the Heritage. Yeah, this is a class act. A Ryder Cup winner, second in the Open Championship last year, second in the Hero World Challenge in the Bahamas last year. Those two performances underline his comfort in a breeze. We're going to get loads of breeze this week. So we've got a quality ball striker, well equipped for this assignment. And Bryce Garnett could be a perfect foil for him. Garnett, really accurate off the tee. He always has been. Finding fairways will be so difficult this week in the foursomes. And he's proven in the wind. Both of his two PGA Tour victories have come on breezy islands. He won the 2018 Corrales Punta Cana. And then last month, that's in the Dominican Republic, we must mention, that Horschel won on Sunday. And then last month, he won the Puerto Rico Open. So His career has been revived at the age of 40. He was 35th at Sawgrass last month. He was 18th at Harbortown last week in elevated designated event. So his wife and his bank manager are thrilled with the checks that have been coming in. Garnett has suddenly been banking huge checks, and I think he'll get another one this week.
Okay. I mean, there's a couple of pairs at the top of the market, Steve, that I'm sure will take the eye of many. Jean de Chauffelet, can't they? Both in relatively decent form. Rory and Shane, I'm sure there'll be some romantics backing them. Zalatoris and Sahith Theegala. I mean, what put you off the top of the market in this one?
Well, I see AK has dangled 9-2 about Cantlay and Chauffelet. That'll be popular, I suspect. But I just feel like some of that early magic they had together has faded. And yeah, they're looking like an old married couple to me that's had enough of each other. You know, Cantlay is so dour, isn't he? And he, at the moment, he's just obsessed with PGA Tour policy. You know, he's on the policy boy. He probably just spends all the round talking to Xander Schauffele about the PGA Tour policies. And Schauffele's probably too scared to say he'd like to play with someone else. Yeah, I don't think they're as close now as they perhaps were. They've played three times together in this, you see. And they've won one of those three. But they're so short. I can't get excited about the short odds. You know, neither of them has won a trophy since the summer of 2022.
Really?
They're both on long losing streaks for players of their stature. So I can avoid the short prices on them. And then Rory McIlroy and Shane Lowry. I mean, you know, they're inevitably be popular with punters because, you know, the people love backing Rory McIlroy and Shane Lowry. But McIlroy has gone Texas Open. Don't forget, he played the week before the Masters. So he's gone Texas Open, Masters, Heritage, Zurich, four consecutive weeks of competition. You're going to need to knuckle down this week in the windy conditions in the foursomes. Has he got the mental energy to do that? It's his course debut. Lowry's been a big disappointment over the last fortnight.
He has.
I can't have them at single figure odds. So I think I've identified the value.
I think I'd seen that Ted Scott has earned about as much on the PGA Tour this season than Rory McIlroy has.
Wow. Yeah. That's an incredible stat, isn't it? Yeah, he was bouncing around Harbortown on Sunday.
He was. Right, okay. Those are the selections for the Zurich Classic. We shall, as we said earlier, recap at the end of the show. We've got LIV Golf this week as well, jetting over to Australia. It's the LIV Golf Adelaide Invitational. Really looking forward to this one. Steve, where are we at and what can we expect?
Yes, sir. Grange Golf Club, Grange, South Australia. 6,946 yards, par 72, four par fives, firm, fast terrain. You need accuracy, you need touch. The inaugural LIV Golf Adelaide took place at this venue 12 months ago. Taylor Gooch won the first of his three LIV trophies last year. The weather forecast absolutely perfect. Sunny, calm, temperatures between 17°C and 21°C. It should be a fantastic event. You know, LIV Adelaide is a big party. You know, it's a sellout. These are the biggest crowds they get on the LIV circuit. Big, rowdy crowds. It's like the Phoenix Open of the LIV circuit. A field of 54 going to post. It starts 2:45 a.m. on Friday morning, live on DAZN and LIV Golf Plus.
Okay, you're going to be waking up nice and early for it.
Well, yeah. Humans Maybe. And animals wake me up at all hours now. So if one of them wakes me up at 2:45 a.m. on Friday night, is it Friday? No, Friday morning. So, yeah, 2:45 a.m. Friday, but Thursday. Thursday night.
Yes,
if someone wakes me up at 2:45 a.m. on Thursday night, then I will watch some of this. Yeah.
Okay. Let's take a look at the market leaders with AK Bets. John Rahm, your 7-1 favourite. Bryson DeChambeau, 11s alongside Cameron Smith on Joaquin Neiman. Tyrrell Hatton, 12-1. Taylor Gooch, last year's winner, 14-1. Bigger the rest. How many selections for LIV Golf Adelaide?
Just two. We've got a 4-2-2 formation this week.
One of my favourites. Who's the first?
Joaquin Neiman, 11-1 with AK Bets. I hope this price holds until this show goes on air, which we're going to harass the producer to get this done as quickly as possible, because 11-1 is a stonking price about Joaquin Neiman. I would argue that he should be favourite for this tournament. I don't like John Rahm at all. John Rahm, they're just every week is chalked up as this clear LIV Golf favourite. He's not won anything. This is another.
He has been there or thereabouts, hasn't he?
So there, you can't say it like that. He's been there, buried. Yeah, but this is another course debut for Rahm. We've spoken in the past about how he seems to dislike the vibe of these LIV events. Well, this one will test his patience to the absolute limit. You know, you get hordes of pumped up Aussies in his ear. The music will be louder than ever. We'll have people shouting all sorts of peculiar things at him. There'd be drunkards everywhere. You know, let's not beat around the bush. You know, there'd be loads of drunkards at this event. And John Rahm has been getting angry at events where there's been hardly anyone. And the music's gone a little bit loud and he's backed away on putts and that. He doesn't like LIV Golf. He's never going to admit it. He'd probably, you know, he'd be in big trouble with his paymasters if he said that. But he's not enjoying it. And the last thing that Rahm needs after the humbling he took at the Masters is LIV Golf Adelaide for me. Rahm tied 45th at Augusta on his title defence. Yeah, a meek title defence. He's probably had sleepless nights since then, I'd suggest, Jack, because he's going to be wondering whether LIV Golf has dented his ability to compete for majors. I'm sure that's going through his head. So, yeah, I'm ignoring the clear favourite this week is Rahm, and I'm ignoring him for someone who I think should be favourite, and that's Wakeham Neiman. He finished 30th in LIV Adelaide last year, but he'd been struggling for top gear back then. That was actually his second best finish of the 2023 LIV season at the time. Fast forward a year, completely different animal. He's already won two LIV titles this year. He was third in an Asian Tour event in Oman. He was fourth in the Dubai Desert Classic. He was fourth in LIV Golf Hong Kong. And he was 22nd in the Masters with an ice cold putter. He didn't play badly. And of course, more importantly, he was brilliant in Australia at the end of last year. Do you remember when he went to Australia at the end of last year, chasing world ranking points to try and get into the Masters? He was fifth in the Australian PGA, and then he won the Australian Open. Back down under this week, you know, he's the man to beat.
I agree with you, Steve. It feels as if, you know, despite not winning, they just keep pricing Rahm up, similar price, clear favourite. I mean, I would have thought you'd have Cam Smith nearer favouritism, just with the kind of home crowd and et cetera, et cetera.
I think Rahm's short price. I think. Neiman should be favourite. Who's going to be approaching this tournament with more relish and more anticipation? You know, who's up for this one? Rahm, I think, will be a bit worried about this one. Whereas I think Neiman is just I think Neiman would be really, really looking forward to it, showing off the form that he's in to the biggest crowd in LIV.
Absolutely. Wakeham Neiman, 11-1 with AK Bet. Steve Palmer's main selection for LIV Golf Adelaide. One more for this one. Who is it?
Abraham Answer, 25-1 with AK Bet, who, like Neiman, was part of the 2019 President's Cup at Royal Melbourne. These two have been popular with the Aussie gallery since that event. Answer was the joint top scorer in that President's Cup. He scored 3.5 points from his 5 matches. Greg Norman has tried to get the Grange similar to the Melbourne Sandbelt track. So, yeah, there'd be similarities between Royal Melbourne and Grange, because Norman redesigned the course in 2012 and those were his instructions. Answer will be licking his lips about this one. It's a short, firm, fast layout. Like Neiman, he's also won an Australian Open. He won the 2018 Aussie Open by 5 shots. He travels really well. He won the Saudi International last year, and he's got off the mark on the LIV circuit, of course, in Hong Kong last month. So I think Answer is the each-way value alternative to the market leaders.
Okay. Abraham Answer is the perfect example to any young aspiring golfers that don't hit it very far.
Yeah.
He just pokes it around the course and scores really nicely. And
yeah,
you see, don't you, kids now down the driving range just bashing driver trying to hit it like DeChambeau. Well, that's be more like Answer, I think. Be more like Abraham, you know, with his little graphite shafts and lovely little golfer.
I agree with you. And then when you turn up at courses like the Hong Kong Golf Club, which is all about accuracy, a short course is all about accuracy. He obviously won that and he's banked a $4 million check. So, yeah, tell that to the youth of today.
Absolutely. No love for Bryson or Cam Smith. I know that, or particularly Bryson, you've been keen on for previous tournaments.
I know Cam Smith will be extremely popular. I mean, he's a similar price to Neiman, almost exactly the same price, another 11-1 chance. A lot of pressure on him in this event. You know, he'll be the main focus of the drunken hordes that we mentioned. You know, there will probably be people vomiting on his backswing to be without getting too coarse about it. So I think, again, is he looking forward to this event? He'll say he really is. But I think, again, it's an awkward one for him. He finished fourth last year, which was a good effort. But do you remember just before Christmas? Yeah, you know, we mentioned how well Neiman played in Australia just before Christmas. Smith played in both of those events.
Yeah.
Short price favourite for the Aussie PGA in his hometown. Missed the cut. Do you remember? Missed the cut. It was absolutely horrific performance. And then he was 17th in the Aussie Open a week later. So, Smith, I know he's going to be well backed. He was sixth in the Masters. That was really encouraging. But if you offer me Neiman or Smith, there's absolutely no question who I go for.
Okay, I still chuckle to myself with your Colin Montgomery story that you told on the Masters watch along, and I'm just starting to think now they should bring Monty in for a guest appearance at LIV Golf and one of these rowdy ones and just see how he goes. Yeah, brilliant, isn't it? I'd just love to see Monty just walking around.
But he's got they still talk about the Monty ears, don't they? The Monty ears. Oh, he's got the Monty ears because Monty used to hear everything. You're absolutely right. If you put him at LIV Adelaide, you would just be in a fist fight within seconds.
it would be absolutely brilliant. There we go. There's three tournaments done, Steve. How's the new dog Coco? She's settling in, or is she in the shed with you now? Or
she was in the shed yesterday. Yeah. Fortunately, my wife's off work today, so she can look after. But she's settling in okay. I mean, the shed. She's just a bit bored because obviously I was playing with her a lot last week. So when she's in the shed, it's a very small place to hang around, but I try and get out as much as I can, but it's not easy. I'm adjusting to life. The main thing I've got to adjust to is that the high-pitched voices, because they don't understand the English language, funnily enough. Dogs don't speak English, and it's all about tone of voice, I've been told, because obviously my wife's done all the research and she's been telling me what I've got to do. And getting a high enough pitched voice to tell her when she's doing good things, like if they do their business outside, you go, "Oh, well done, it's a good girl, hey, good girl, Coco. Oh, well done, yeah, doing a lovely little poo-poo." So I'm just training my voice to get as high as possible. And then when they do a bad thing, you just go, "You shouldn't have pooed there."
Have your neighbours thought that you've completely lost the plot at this stage? Or
I do. Honestly, I don't get embarrassed easily, as you well know. But I think it's one of the most embarrassing things ever when you have to go out late at night and it's quiet and you can hear the neighbours just shuffling around the garden and you're just there going, "Busy, busy. Can I do busy, busy, Coco?" I mean, that really is embarrassing.
Have you taken her up to the pylon as of yet? I mean, I suspect there hasn't been need to, really, has there?
No, you've got a carrier everywhere you see at the moment. So there's no walkies because she hasn't had the vaccinations or whatever. So you're basically carrying around like Paris Hilton every time you go anywhere and looking ridiculous.
What's been the look of sort of onlooking punters in Weymouth Town Centre as you walk around with your little ball of fluff?
It's not a good look because it is the sort of dog that, it's not a manly dog. You see these people striding up with their bulldogs, isn't it? So you'll have some fella walking towards you with his XL bully and like muscles and tattoos, and I go past with my little multi poo, and I've got, Nicholas got me this little bag that carries all the stuff that you need. So it's an incredibly poor look. The things we do for love. Yeah, my daughter's over the moon. It was all good. From the daughter. She I've never seen her so happy. Brilliant. So all good, mate, all good. And then we got an each way treble this week. Don't forget to advertise that.
So who is the each way treble?
Well, Kaito Nakajima, Billy Horschel, and Tyson Alexander, and Wackham Neiman, and that's about 7,000 to 1. So come on, we can have our each way trebles. This is a big opportunity. So I'm going to watch the each way treble oblige this week. Going to watch the snooker. Ronnie's going to win the snooker. Hasn't played his first match.
I tell you what, I've been very disappointed with the top seed so far. I mean, Selby's out, isn't he? Brussels out. I do love this time of year with the snooker. When you're working, it's just sort of nice background noise, isn't it? Very soothing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Ali Carter's out as well. So, nice watching all these players get knocked out. Ronnie's just there laughing his socks off. He plays tomorrow, Wednesday afternoon. I just think he's going to outclass him because it's a very short tournament for Ronnie. It's the latest he's ever started the World Championship. He often like loses his mind, but it's become like a 12-day tournament for him. It's not too late to get your bets on Ronnie.
But I think AK were dangling some pretty nice prices about Ronnie to go on, weren't they?
So absolutely, they were.
Absolutely. Right. Let's recap the selections for this week. We shall start with the ISPS Handa Championship.
Kaito Nakajima, Takumi Kanaya, Taiga Semikawa, Rao Ishikawa.
The Zurich Classic, as Steve clogs hopefully his water in his Heineken pint glass. The Zurich Classic, Steve.
Billy Horschel and Tyson Alexander, Sepp Straka and Bryce Garnett.
And in LIV Golf,
Wackham Neiman. Bet of the week at 11-1 with AK Bets and Abraham Answer.
There we go. Steve, thank you as always. We shall be back next week. Was it two tournaments next week. I think back to a fairly normal routine. I hope that we go into that in good form. Take care to you, Steve, and you also too, our viewers.
Have a nice day. What are you going to do? You're going to put your dragon's outfit on now, are you?
May well do,
knight. You dress as a knight on St. George's Day.
Go down to the local pub and dress as a knight. I'm sure that would get a few looks.
Yeah, I can imagine you as a knight. Yeah, wonderful.
Please do bet responsibly at top prices with AK Bets. Remember the new account offer that we mentioned at the top of the show. Big thanks to producer Dan. We'll see you all next Tuesday. Bye-bye.